Hey, what's up, ninjas? Today I'm talking to Tom Liebelt. He also has a podcast called Smart Brand Marketing Podcast, and you should check that out if you haven't already. He also helps course creators market their online courses, and he is an expert in search engine optimization, marketing, consulting, lead generation, and all kinds of social media stuff. He helps you stop wasting time and money on marketing your online course. So if you do have a course, it might be worth reaching out to him on LinkedIn. His website is smartbrandmarketing.com, and he's offering free gifts to people at smartbrandmarketing.com/gifts. So go and check that out. If you know anyone that is promoting courses, or you have your own course, he could very well help you out. A lot of the stuff he does is for free, and he works with a lot of different types of people, TV, radio, podcasts, media, CEOs, accountants, brand and media experts, keynote and professional speakers, all kinds of people. He's very traveled and experienced, and he's been doing this for a while. 2010, I believe, he launched the Smart Brand Marketing small business consultancy to bring smart strategies to businesses and organizations working within a tight budget. And in 2015, he transformed it into what he does now, which is marketing online courses. His three superpowers are business plans and strategy, marketing and advertising, systems and operations, including staffing solutions. And if you'd like to check out his podcast, I would recommend if you go and find one called smartbrandmarketing.com/Derek-Sivers. Hope I've pronounced that correctly. Derek-Sivers. That's a good place to start. Anyway, let's get on with it. So, Tom Liebelt, thanks very much for joining me today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for connecting on LinkedIn as well. That was super cool to read about your story. You've done quite a lot of stuff. how exactly would you describe yourself?
I don't know, just someone that gets things done. That's why there's so much stuff done.
You're an entrepreneur, but you know you're a publisher and a salesman, and also a Polish hip-hop artist.
Yeah, I've done a couple years in that field. It was fun. It was my 20s. It was like the thing to do. You know, like most people wait till they're like 40 or 50, they start like some crappy band. Try to kind of reclaim that. Well, we tried to actually do it seriously, like when there was still a chance of making it.
Yeah, I didn't do the music thing. Almost. I had a choice on one birthday.
You still have time.
No. My parents said to me one birthday, do you want a guitar or do you want running shoes? And I chose the running shoes. So I became an athlete and I got into martial arts and all of that. That's you're into Muay Thai, are you?
Yeah, I like Muay Thai. Like, I can't do it as much anymore because the joints, you know, like it's a very explosive sport, you know. Like you can do it when you're like in your 20s and early 30s, but when you get to like the late 30s, like you start feeling, you know, the pain.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Thailand as well, which is an awesome place I want to go and visit. What's that like?
Well, at the moment it's awesome, you know. Like I think we went through this whole period of the last few months like really well. You know, we had a little bit of a lockdown, but there's been no cases for over 2 months, so domestically we're pretty much open, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we can do whatever we want. There's just the borders are not opening up, but it's very good, man. Like I don't think about anything at all. Like it feels normal.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are running businesses from there who are from the West,
And certainly there's quite a lot of people using virtual assistants from Thailand because cheaper costs. Is that one of the reasons why you're doing business there, because of cheaper costs?
Not really. Like initially when I came, I felt like that could be, you know, that like the way to go. Because like in my background, I've had retail stores. I've had a coffee shop. Like I know what overhead looks like, you know. So when you kind of take that away by itself, just going digitally, like right there, you have enormous savings.
Yeah.
Now, when you come to Thailand, I mean, you could, I guess, save, but I mean, you get Thai people and Filipinos working for you. Yeah, maybe it's cheaper, but it comes with so many headaches. You know, you're not really saving as much as you think. Like all my expenses kind of even out to the West. Like Thailand's not that cheap. Like if you want to live like a local and eat like noodles from the street, maybe. But if you want to live normally, you have a car, apartment, office, everything. Like it's the same price as in the West. Right. I mean, for me, it's cheaper just because I've lived in New York for a long time. So those prices are extreme compared to almost everywhere. But if you just go to like Midwest, America, or almost anywhere in Europe, other than like the big cities, like the cost is the same. Like I'm spending around $3,000 on average per month. Is that cheap? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's about average, right? Like, you know, when you move to like almost anywhere for that price, you get an apartment, a car, food, you know, same thing. Like I don't see much of a difference.
Yeah,
the weather is nice.
It's on par, I think.
Yeah.
So you're doing, at the moment, currently you're doing online marketing, and I believe you're doing stuff with courses.
Yeah, so we've been doing marketing for over a decade with my company. But the last, I would say 3-4 years, we went heavily in online courses. Like we really niched down and dominate that space now.
Yeah, that's something I'm really interested in, because I'm currently looking at creating a course myself. For reasons that you might resonate with, because I like to help people, and I worked a lot of crappy jobs and I, you know, didn't like it. So I want to help people who also want to leave their crappy jobs and support themselves and earn the rewards of their own efforts, put their money into their own pocket instead of their boss's pocket, you know? So I like to help people like that. That's why I'm putting my course together. What kind of courses do you do?
Well, we've marketed almost everything. You know, we don't work with anything that's wishy-washy. Like we won't take any, you know, make money online stuff, any meditation, any abundance, you know, anything that's like, whoa, we don't do any of that.
Right.
It's got to be a clear transformation. Like, you know, this person's going to help you with this. There's like a skill they're going to learn, or they're going to get some kind of benefit. We can put a value on it. We can define it. And it's actually, you know, like it makes sense. We'll do that. Anything else, we just don't touch. I think with you helping, you know, like the main thing that you kind of show by just doing a course in that niche is by you start separating your time from your money making. Because that's the most important thing, right? Like as long as you're trading time for money, you got a ceiling always. You know, it's like the easiest, but the dumbest thing to do, you know? So even with our company, we do some things where we trade time for money, but we also work at, you know, with courses, and we're thinking about apps because that's like the next steps where you really separate yourself. But at the same time, we also don't want to be these marketers and experts, you know, which some people think we are, who are no longer working at their craft. You know, like you see a lot of that, like someone will start putting out marketing material or how to build a business, but they haven't built a business for 20 years. You know, we just don't want to be doing that. So for us, the trading time for money is kind of there to kind of keep us fresh, you know? So we choose it, but it's just always the worst way to go. I'll tell you, clients and everything, worst way to make money.
So how do you figure out a good business idea?
I mean, it depends on what you know, right? It depends on your niche, your audience, you know, like it's really just, you know, making offers, right? That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not the idea. It's just the offer. You know, you could have one idea and offer it in 15 different ways, and one way will hit while the other 14 fail, right? So I kind of like to think of it that way. Like, you just keep putting out offers, some hit, some don't.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually, like, one, if you do everything properly and you can scale it, that one idea that hits off big, you just kind of follow through and you make your money. You know, it doesn't take that much. It really doesn't.
It's all about crafting the right offer.
It's all about crafting the right offer, right? Because like normally when you got a business, you have two things you got to match up. You got to match up the audience with the offer, right? Mm-hmm. Easy, but, you know, complicated at the same time. Like, it's, you know, but with the courses, you have third factor. You've got the educators. So now people might love the offer. You have the right audience, but let's say they don't like the educator. They think you're just horrible. And they learn from someone else, right? Yeah. So it's like this third piece to get this business really going is, you know, you got to be able to also educate, be entertaining, be likable. Like, you got to get really good because it's the competition's, you know, moving up. Like, it's not like 10, 15 years ago where you would be like the only person in your niche. Now, there's probably going to be competition and people will look at that third factor. Like, do I like this guy?
Yeah. So obviously the offer is very important, but there's other elements to a successful business. You know, can you name a few important factors?
Well, an offer is not a business, right? Mm-hmm. So an offer is just an offer. It's like, it's got nothing to do with the business overall. It's just what you're offering out. Like, a business is different. You need your fundamentals, right? You got to have your accounting, your sales, your marketing, customer service. You got to have your systems. Like, the business is not the offer. Like, I find people make that mistake so much lately. They'll be like, oh, I'm building this product or I'm building this course. And I'm like, okay. And then they're talking about business. I'm like, but that's not your business. It's not. Amazon selling jump ropes doesn't make jump ropes Amazon. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a product. It's just one product. It's got nothing to do with the business. How they make the jump rope has no correlation how Amazon's being run. Right? Like, just very different topics, right? It's just an offer. Like, a course would be one product or an offer. And then your business is your business. That's your back end. Like, you got to figure that out separately.
So you started off learning about business in Russia, didn't you?
Well, I was in Poland when I was little.
Oh, no. There was some Russian element to your learning about it business.
So my dad used to take me to soccer stadiums.
Yeah.
On the weekend and help him sell things.
Right.
They were filled with Russian vendors.
Yeah.
And I very quickly realized that business is not all nice and pretty, right? Like, I would be sold garbage. Mm-hmm. I would be lied to. I was ripped off as a kid. Like, I learned my lessons quick. I remember this one time I took a soccer ball that I bought and I'm pumping that thing up at the house for hours. And my dad finally comes through. He's like, what did you get? I was like, I got this soccer ball from that Russian guy. He's like, let me see this. Yeah, there's no rubber inside. You know what I mean? So I'm pumping up this like outside. So things like that happen. And also when I was selling things with him, I quickly realized, you know, you need your product to be pretty good, because I would sell like to my classmates. And let's say I sold a VHS tape or something, you know, and the VHS tape did not work. There was no like, I'm coming back nicely, get a refund. Like, we would be fighting after school. You know what I mean? This would be like, this would become a war very quickly. So yeah, when I was little, I learned a lot of these business fundamentals in a very rough like way that I'll remember forever.
You've been through the ringer by the sounds of it to learn that the hard lessons are always the best, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, like when we had a publishing business a couple of years ago, we were publishing hundreds of books on Amazon every month. And eventually we had a problem with the account. We couldn't scale, like just a lot of different issues. But the main thing was the business shut down. And again, a lot of money out the window. We made a lot, we lost a lot. But one of the best lessons, man, like I'm all about control now. And my business has been doing much, much better because of that. I will not build anything on a platform that I can't control anymore. Even this morning, I woke up, I had a problem with my email account. We use ConvertKit, 8-figure company, some kind of mess up, and emails sending out bad links, things like that. And I'm like, the money's in the list, right? Mm-hmm. But I just, I overlooked it. I'm like, do I really control my list if I got this company that can't even do what they're supposed to, be able to mess up my business in some way? So now we're looking at backups and other options, right? But these lessons are great.
Yeah.
They hurt, they hurt when it happens. Like we tried to log in, the email list is gone. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But it was the best thing. Like we kind of looked at it. We're like, we have a big problem here we need to solve, So it's more about how you approach that solution, right? Like what are you going to do? Are you going to go hide in your bed, or are you just going to be like, well, okay, well, this sucked big time. Now how do we fix it?
Yeah.
And then hopefully once you fix it, it never happens again. But this happens over and over in business. Yeah, over and over.
Leveling up every time, you get more and more crap happen,
I don't know if it's leveling up. I kind of feel like it's being more jaded with time. Like, the things that would completely put me out of balance like 10 years ago, they happen now. And I just kind of look at it and be like, I'll take care of this after lunch. What I mean? Like, I just don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like before, like clients would be like, oh, there's some kind of an emergency. I'm like, it's not an emergency. If you have a real emergency, go to a hospital. Well, I'll take care of this when I'm back at the office. Like, what I mean? Like just things are so different. A business shuts down. Emails go off, technical problems. Like I think my friend told me this a long time ago and it kind of works. Whatever problem you're having right now, your biggest problem in business, trust me, a year from now, is going to be just another thing that happens. Like that's just, and eventually just become so thick-skinned that like all these things just kind of bounce off and it's like, yeah, we'll take care of this. Like, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
Is that the sort of thing that's essential to build a strong business, or is it more involved to build, say, a business which is anti-fragile?
Well, it's more essential to keeping your sanity. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to build a bigger business, you will have to be a better leader in some ways. You'll have to be able to handle more things. Like, think about Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. The types of problems he comes with, you have like the whole media going after him. You have short sellers, all these things. Like a normal person, like someone like me at this stage, that could be enough to make me like, I'm just going back to bed. I've just that much happened. Mm-hmm. But you kind of need to, like I said, you grow a thicker skin.
So you've got like a few thousand books that's been published on Amazon Kindle.
Yeah, so that was the business we talked about before. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you stopped using Amazon Kindle then? I mean,
As I mentioned, we completely killed that business off. It was just too many problems. We didn't own the list. That was one of the lessons I learned. Do not build anything on anyone else's platform. Like it grew for a long time and we shut it down.
So do you not use ConvertKit now then?
ConvertKit issue happened this morning. I'm still seeing how they will solve the issue. Because it just happened this morning. I'm not going to make a rash decision. I'm just looking at options now. Because if something happens, that's what you do, right? Like we had a big problem. It seems solved. But, this problem shouldn't have happened in the first place. So now, we need to control our list better. So we'll see. I'm not sure what's going to happen yet. We're looking at different providers. We're looking at different backups. Just better ways of handling it. So, next time ConvertKit or any other responder, does something weird, like we need to be in control.
Yeah. I'm interested in getting rid of as many tools and softwares as possible and minimizing everything, because the more parts you have, the more it can break. Yeah. And I hate Facebook and all of that. And I'd rather just leave all that out of the equation.
Yeah, the more you can simplify it, the better. Now, there's a danger with that. So what happens sometimes, you know, you've heard of ClickFunnels, right?
Oh, yes.
The big software now, yeah. So their whole sales pitch is eliminate all your tools and use ClickFunnels. Well, that shit breaks all the time. It's one of the worst tools I've seen. And anytime a client comes to me with that tool, I'm like, I really don't want to work with it. But, you know, like you kind of put yourself in that place. Now, again, ClickFunnels owns everything, your whole business, and it's a crappy tool. But it's one tool instead of 50, right? So, like, it's this balance, right? So you still don't control, you know, what you want. So
yeah,
with the email providers, what we're looking for is almost every other responder is built on a server. Most of them use Amazon. You know, they have the hosting and the their own server, right? So we're pretty much just looking for a wrapper now, which we can put on top of our own Amazon account. And then we control our other responder, maybe. I think we might move in that direction. And then we use the same system that all these other guys are using, except we're just not paying them anywhere. We're going directly to the source. But no one can touch our account because it's our account. We built it. We set it up. Unless Amazon goes down. But I mean, we're not going to set up our own hosting company. You know what I mean? Like, you're always going to have like a small piece that you can't have, but it's just, how do you control as much of your business as possible? Like that's kind of, you know, what I'm always leaning towards.
That's good information. I like to simplify things as much as possible, in the sense that if I could just use one tool to do everything, that would be fantastic. I looked at things like ClickFunnels, Builderall, DropFunnels, GrooveFunnels, which is a new one. They don't seem to be working properly yet, but they all have great ideas. But it's almost as if no one's really listening to the demand that people have for an all-in-one tool, which does the digital marketing thing well enough. Do you see what I mean? Like ClickFunnels has problems with emails and this and that, and other softwares have problems with other things. Can't there just be one simplified tool? I looked at Phone Sites, which was great. It's like a light version of ClickFunnels. You basically can just go on your phone, build a website in 5 minutes, and you've got a lead generation tool right there, and leads can come in all day long. It's fantastic. But it doesn't have the email autoresponder side. It has an email follow-up section, but it can't store your contacts. It can't send out a sequence of emails and so on. So there's always the hunt to find things and what works with what, and then something breaks and da-da-da-da. And it's just a bit of a digital marketing nightmare. On the flip side of that, I'm getting fed up of listening to internet marketers. Constantly, I'm seeing their adverts. Buy this, buy that, da da da. And I'm sick to the back teeth of here. I'm sure you've probably seen enough adverts yourself, being in the niche. But I mean, why do we need to stop listening to internet marketers? Tell me, please.
Well. Here's how I like to think about it. You know, it's like reading books. You know, we have hundreds of business books that come out every year, right?
Yeah.
Most of them, all they do is repackage info from a couple of like the basic foundational books that came out 30, 40 years ago, right?
Right.
And I always think, if the book is meant to sell you something, it's probably not worth reading.
Okay.
So with internet marketers, I kind of look at it the same way, right? Most of them create this thing that you want to sell, right? Yeah. Like product or course or anything. And then they built all their content around that thing, right? So everything is meant to sell you whatever they're selling, right? All the content, everything's informational, but the only reason they're putting it out is to sell that one thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it works. You know, I mean, that's what I would recommend for you to do if you were selling something. But if you have your the awareness of that, you know, you kind of look at any article, anything, it's like, all right, who is this guy? Uh-huh. He's selling me this. Got it.
It's tough. I like to think that I could possibly sell without selling. I call it the art of selling without selling, in that I would tell the truth, you know, and not manipulate and not use NLP and all these different marketing techniques. I don't want to spend an hour and a half doing a webinar just to warm someone up, to convince them to buy something they don't probably need anyway. It just doesn't feel right to me. But at the same time, I would like to educate people on how to support themselves financially by running a business online, even if it's just a small business for themselves. I'm not talking about 6-7-figure businesses and all of that, but I like to help people, I like to coach people, and I'm interested in the online stuff. So it all combines into one thing. But I see all these digital marketers and they're saying, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you have to do it. And I'm like, no, it's dishonest to me. There's no integrity. And when I see their adverts, I know what they're doing. I know the words they're using. They're deliberately doing this and that to manipulate you, and it just feels wrong. And I would just like to put out the facts and let people do what they're going to do with it. And if I don't succeed, then maybe I'm wrong, but I feel I'm right. So I might not be, it may not make me rich.
You might just be following the wrong people. So what you just said right there is what one of the guys who everyone copies built his whole business upon, one of the best marketers in the world, David Ogilvy. His whole company, I think it was around the 60s, 70s, was built on truth advertising. That's all he did.
Yeah.
That's all he did. He looked at everyone's campaign, said like, stop this nonsense, and he put the truth out, and they made millions. What we kind of call that now is insight marketing, right? So you give people insights, and then they come to you for more.
Yeah.
Right? So these are normal concepts. People have already proven these. You might have just not looked at the right people to kind of learn from. And I think David Ogilvy for you would be a great read. And this is a foundational book. This is by a guy who everyone copies, right? So you can easily build a company doing that type of marketing. Like I said, it's just, you don't read the recent crap. You don't listen to these guys. Like, they all took it from like a couple people before. Just go to the source.
Yeah, I try to look at a lot of different people in a lot of different niches and try and build up my knowledge. But as I say, you know, when all these things that I'm clicking on to look at, I'm getting retargeted, you know what I mean? So I'm constantly seeing adverts from the people that I'm looking at. That's why it annoys me, because I'm not actually after the buying their stuff, but I'm interested in knowing about how they're doing it all. So I've learned a lot, but it gets very annoying. I'd like to go a little bit deeper on your business stuff, especially with the courses, and you talk about SEO, which is a little bit controversial for me, because I kind of believe in it sometimes, but sometimes I think it's a complete waste of time. So what's your experience with SEO and courses?
Well, we had an SEO company, which is still running. We just don't take clients much under it anymore because we're focusing on the courses. But look, you have two ways of getting traffic. You got the paid way, quick but expensive, and you have the slow way, SEO, right? It's expensive on the front end but cheap in the long term. So you sort of need both in your business if you want to be in the business long term, right? Like, initially the paid traffic will get you your sales, and eventually hopefully the SEO picks up, you know, at some point, and then you can not spend so much on the paid, right? It's like, it's just two different sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you can't, don't look at just one like SEO or paid or anything. It's like, it's just getting traffic. Like, just what do you want? If you have a big budget and you need sales now, well, yeah, you're not going to do SEO. That's not how it works. But if you want to be in the business for 10 years, I mean, really, you want to be spending money for 10 years on paid advertising? You know, you should kind of start putting that in place so it takes over in like 4 or 5, and you got free leads coming in. You know, it's just depends on which part of the business like you're looking at.
Yeah. So what part of your business are you most passionate about? Is it the actual running of the business, or is there elements inside the business? I mean, what do you think about when you wake up in the morning?
I actually like the insights part. Like, I like giving my customers and potential customers insights, right? So we'll do tests, we'll do a lot of work, and we'll be like, well, we figure this out. And then passing that on, I think, is the most exciting, right? Because people will come back and be like, man, that was great. That was awesome. Like, we get emails back all the time just being like, that the email you wrote, and I don't sell anything in my emails. They'll just say like, man, this was great. And it took me a while to figure that out, but it's good. You know, it's good sharing that info. And yeah, we get clients from it. We get booked up, but it's not the point. Like, the point is we just want to, you know, give the info out and then have people be like, man, this really helped me change something in my business, you know, which I didn't have to do through trial and error.
That's good.
And I kind of look for people like that too. Like, there's a few friends I have, like they're exhibitors, and a few guys that just, you know, they come to me just like with insights, you know, and then I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And also, not selling anything, but I know if I'm going to listen to someone, or like Naval, I'll go listen to these guys because it's always something new, something like, I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. So that's really the exciting part. Like, you know, it kind of all goes back to that.
Do you have like a favorite insight, or like the big aha moment of your life where it's something just changed and your perception changed in an amazing way?
The one I've been kind of saying recently is, if you want to get lucky in business, do an hour of marketing every day.
Right.
It's that simple. That's all you need to do. Just every single day, consistently do some outreach, some marketing. And you'll be very surprised how lucky you're going to get pretty quickly.
You make your own luck, huh?
Well, so, the thing is, you know, you put in the grind, which most people don't want to do. And then the opportunities that happen, you know, everyone calls luck, but you're just like, well, you know, I guess so. I guess I'm getting lucky a lot.
What do you think separates people who are successful from people who are not?
Just the consistency, man. Like, most people can't do the grind for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they come in, jump out. They'll get in a niche. They'll be like, oh, this was great. And they see another niche. They're like, oh, look at that bus. It looks faster and nicer. I'm going to jump on that bus. And then they're like, okay, well, now I'm on a different bus and I'm going through the same thing again. So they look at another bus. Instead of staying on the same thing in the same bus, they keep jumping from one to the next. So like, what you find now is, instead of having someone with like 20 years of business experience, you have some idiot that's got like 2 years of business experience 10 times, right? Mm-hmm. They're older, but they still haven't done anything really. And it's like, why? Well, I've been doing it for 20 years. I was like, have you really? Because it seems like you've been jumping from one thing to the next and you've never evolved past the first 2 years. And you see that a lot. And I think that's what separates people. I just had lunch with a buddy of mine. He was getting really good in e-commerce, you know, had an exit, sold a company, built some, did some funding to other businesses. And now he's talking about doing like homeschooling or home care with some partner. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why? Why in the world would you do that? Just stay in your lane. People finally started looking at you as an e-commerce guy. Why are you going to leave? The dumbest thing I ever heard. And he's like, oh, yeah. You know, but I see this a lot.
Yeah.
Just stay in your lane. You got to look, as long as your niche is not trending down, you know, if you're making money, if everything's kind of looking good, but it's just becoming harder, that's when you stay. You know, it's different if like you're a blockbuster and everyone's moving on demand, you know, and you're still trying to push like these VHSs, like, yeah, okay, that's time to go. But in like most niches, and like e-commerce especially, e-commerce is not going anywhere. You know, it's getting stronger. It's like, why in the world would you leave this to like help people like parenting? You have no kid. You don't know anything about parenting. You know, just stay in your lane. So I see that being a huge problem these days. Just people jumping around. And like the things they do, they have no idea why they're doing them. Someone tells them to write this type of headline, they write the headline. Someone says, have a landing page, they do a landing page. Someone says, have an online course, they do an online course. There's like no reason, no why. They have no clue why they're doing these things. It's just, oh, okay, someone told me to do it. You know, it's not really a great way to run a business.
Yeah. I like to investigate principles and really drill down and find the actual truth of things. A basic, easy to understand level in the terms of, say, success. If someone was to say, what's the secret of success? Well, my principle would be, don't stop. Do you know what I mean? That's like the shortest answer that I could give. And consistency, like you say, is very important. They kind of ride together, don't they? Consistency and don't stop. Because you do learn your lessons on the way. You know, there's no failures as such. So you're always building yourself up. But like you say, you need to stay in your lane for sure. There's a lot of people switching around. I've done it myself. I've switched around. But at the same time, I've kind of zeroed in on a target of what I really want to be doing. It's like niching down, you know. Looked at a lot of different stuff. I have to figure out what I don't want before I can figure out what I do want. So I've been refining the process, but in your experience, which you've got quite a lot of, what would you say to people who keep switching around?
I mean, you'll never build anything substantial, you know, by switching around. Like,
do you think it's about following your passion, or is it something else?
No, passion's got nothing to do with business. No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Like, anyone that tells you to follow your passion already made their money with something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's got nothing to do with it. You know, it's like back when, I don't know, I remember who it was. Was it like Rockefeller or someone? Like, he had a bad reputation and the public relations person like told him like to start giving dimes away to people. And like, you know, they said, oh, if you only save a nickel or a dime a day, you know, something or per month, you're going to be rich. And it was all bullshit. It was like a PR stunt. Like, that's not how you get rich. That's not how he got rich. Like, well, if you only work hard and save or something, it was just nonsense.
Yeah.
Most money happens very quickly. Like, you have years where nothing happens and you have weeks where years happen. But staying consistent, keeping at it is one of the things. Knowing why you're doing it is very important, and being in the right kind of trajectory is important too. Because if you, you know, tell someone who's doing dumb shit to keep doing it, you know, it's not really going to make anything. Like, it's, you know, you have to look at the niche, right? Like, for you, the niche makes sense. Like, I don't see people ever not wanting to leave their jobs for something else. Like, that niche will grow, right? But, you know, if you're like obsessed with, I don't know, some old video game or birdhouses or who knows what, right? Like, and maybe just, it's just a crappy niche. Like, keeping going is not always, you know, and that's the passion thing, right? Like, yeah, maybe you're passionate, but that doesn't make it a business. You know, maybe your passion should just be your hobby, you know, and then like then give the people what they actually want, something of value.
Yeah.
You I know, mean, a lot of the...
You can make businesses from anything. Cake decorations, for example, there's a great margin there. You could build a successful business selling cake decorations.
It's true. And yeah, if you're passionate about that, it's fine.
But I mean, you need to be into something. You need to want to be in it. You need to want to stay the course. Not necessarily having a passion, but you have to want to keep moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on your background. Like, you know, me coming from Poland and seeing how my parents were kind of treated when we first got to America, and like the kind of jobs they had. And how just shitty all of that was. Yeah. That was enough for me.
So motivation. That's what I'm getting at here. Well, you've got something that constantly motivates you. Yeah.
It's called not being broke.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So people need to be aware that the need to keep themselves motivated, then.
Well, the easiest thing for me to do when I have a day where I'm just not, you know, not feeling like really doing anything. One of my first jobs in New York was selling door to door. Blizzards, rain, hot, just a bullshit little thing some corporation had me sell. Now, if I think back to that time of going door to door through all this weather and just making like pennies on the dollar, because, you know, the corporation was making most of the recurring money. I got paid a little bit. If I just think about that day, like the worst days, like there's a blizzard and they're like, Tom, you got to go out. That's way more than enough to motivate me. So often, like, I think the people that either had a kind of a rough upbringing or a really, really shitty job when they started, that's all they need. Now, if you haven't had those, then yeah, maybe you need some kind of a different motivation. But for me, I just need to go back, you know, and, you know, my manager's like, nope, you have no sick days. You got to hit the streets and it's fucking raining the whole time. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. You know what I mean? An hour drive to my territory, walking for 7 hours, driving back in traffic. This is New York too. So an hour could turn into three going home. Then circling my block for a half an hour to find parking. Like, you know, you look at that and you're just like, no, I'm good. I'll do my business. It's much better.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I've sold frozen fish door to door out the back. Oh,
there
of
you
the
go. Can't, you know, that's glamorous.
It wasn't even proper frozen. It was dry ice frozen.
Yeah, but that's glamorous, right? You remember yourself walking with this nonsense and telling people like, hey, you want dry fish? You know what I mean? Door to door. People like, dude, just leave. Just go.
So what motivates you? What drives you? What is it that you love doing now?
Like the thing is, once you become better at something, like, you know, I became better at marketing and a lot of these things, like it kind of becomes more fun. Because yeah, it's challenging. There's always new stuff, but once you see that you actually can pull it off and you're getting better, it becomes like a game, and games are fun. Yeah. You know, if you're stuck and you just can't figure it out, that's, you know, it's not a good feeling. But when you get in that groove where like, I got this, like it becomes much, much better. Right now it's more about like, okay, how many subscribers can I get tomorrow? What if I get this person on the call? How quickly can I sell them? It's not if I can sell them. How quickly can I sell them? Like, you know, it becomes more of a game. Everything becomes more of a game. Like even getting on podcasts like yours, like my assistant has a system. I keep tweaking that system and I'm like, oh, look, you got me on 4 podcasts this week. Oh, you got me on 2. You got me. Let's see what we can tweak. You know what I mean? So everything's a game. Like it's just different parts of it.
Uh-huh. So with you going on podcasts, what is it you hoping to achieve or talk about? What results do you want to get for yourself from doing that?
It's more about giving back now on right. The podcast. I find that's just the best way. Writing articles, which I don't enjoy writing that much, so it takes a little more time. So I'll put out short things in my email, but there's not any better way than podcasts. You know, by me being, I think, on over 100 something podcasts now, I leveraged that a lot. Like I've reached a lot of people and I've had messages being like, oh, wow, I want to learn from you. Mm-hmm. Just by someone listening on the podcast, I was like, well, thank you. You know, because that means I've kind of done my job. So that's really the point. Like, how can I leverage this new medium, which is podcasting, to just get, you know, like instead of me doing one-on-one help or training the people, which I don't have time for.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it in Facebook because, you know, I post it in Facebook, it's gone in a week. No one ever finds it again.
Yeah.
Podcasts are more evergreen. So people can look me up in years on 100%. Some of these podcasts and still, yeah. So it's more about leveraging the new like medium more than anything.
Yeah. I love the podcasting aspect. It's kind of, once it's done, it's automated, it's evergreen. As you say, people can find you years down the line. And it just stays there. I think it's wonderful. Podcasting is so much better. And it it captures a lot of people's attention for a lot longer than other social media platforms as well, and also opens a lot of doors in networking sense where you can connect with a lot more people. So while you're going on to these podcasts and putting out your value and helping people, where is it that you would like to send them to perhaps learn, you know, more about what you're putting out?
So the only place that I've ever given out, because I don't sell anything on these podcasts, you know, I don't put any offers out, is we just created a page like a month ago. We haven't even done this for a long time. It's just called Gifts. So smartbrandmarketing.com/gifts. And anytime we want to give something free, there's always something free in there. We just change it and put it in there.
Right.
But it's just been recent. So it's just, we have some gifts to give, and if people want them, it's fine. But that's been like the only thing. And the only reason I came up with it is because I had podcasters being like, dude, you got to send them somewhere. And I was like, well, okay, we'll make this one page, you know, like with just some free stuff. And then
and that's
if you join smartbrandmarketing.com/gifts. And if you join that, you will become a part of two different sequences. One is on course creation and marketing. We just put out our lessons in there. And the second one is marketing thoughts. And that's the insights, like I told you. Like, I'll come up with something. I'll be like, I want to share this with my list. And yeah, that's really all we do. There's no pitching or anything. You just get to hear about courses, and then you get to hear about marketing.
That's beautiful, man. I love it.
I appreciate it. It was just because of people asking me over and over. I'm like, well, I don't want to pitch, but I don't mind giving it, but I also don't want to make a landing page for every single podcast. So I'm like, look, you'll always be able to find free stuff under gifts. That's it. We'll just make one page, and then we'll work it from there.
Awesome. I think that's a great time to wrap this up, because you've gave us tremendous value. You've now give us a link to follow so we can go and see your Thank you. Not an offer.
there's no offer in there. But I also feel like if I'm going to ask for an email address, like I want to give more in exchange than it's just like, I think it makes it more worthwhile. Like, I don't want to just be like, just join my subscription thing, because then it shows like I really don't care at all. Like, I don't think you're valuable, you know? So we did make that page just to be like, well, you know, we do think it's worth at least $600 to us. Maybe potentially. So here you go. But yeah, it's definitely been, it's always building on top of other things, right? Like, we'll come up with some idea and we'll build on it. And yeah, it never ends. Never ends.
No, it never ends for sure. And Tom, thanks very much for coming on and sharing all that with us. And I'm definitely going to go and have a look at your link and check out your gifts. Before we go, is there anything that you would like to add? Any secret awesomeness or some high value stuff that you really like to share with people?
So here is something I've been thinking about, and I'm actually going to write to my email list about probably in a week or two. Is when you start off in your niche, there's a lot of noise. Right. Mm-hmm. This is any niche whatsoever, a lot of noise, right? I kind of like to look at it as a pyramid. And when you start off, you're at the bottom of the pyramid. A lot of noise, people competing on price, people arguing about things, everyone putting out offers. But the more you stay in your lane, like I told you, and the higher you get in the pyramid, the better you get, the less relevant your competition gets, right? Like, I don't think about my competition at all. I'm like, you guys like don't even matter. Like, we're always booked up, we're fine. And we don't put out many offers, not anything. And it's just, the longer you stay in it, the more trust you get from your people, the more they know who you are. And it takes time, unfortunately. It takes years. You get to that higher part of the pyramid where everything just becomes easier, right? And like, success kind of becomes boring because you kind of keep doing the same stuff and it shows results, right? But you're not doing anything crazy. Like, you're like, someone says like, oh, you should be marketing on TikTok. And I'm like, why in the world would I do that? You know, because I know it works. Like, I have my own systems, my own method. But the one thing I would like to leave everyone is like, look, if you keep getting better and you stay in your lane, like, the competition gets much, much better. Like the couple people you will be competing with will be your friends in the end. Like usually that's what happens. And you'll see all that noise at the bottom, like they're all fighting over scraps.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, but you need to get through that. Like it, you know, in the beginning, you kind of, you know, but I'm saying it ends. Like it does get better from that, you know, that lowest like rung. So yeah, I've been thinking about that, but I think, you know, that's valuable.
Yeah, it's very valuable. You heard it here, folks. Stay in your lane.